us today. I'll have Brother Justin to come this morning and sing for us. And
serve every believer that the Lord would open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, that our lives could be an open book to Him and to the world around us, that we would point souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would this morning, take your Bibles, and we're going to be reading in the Old Testament in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 4. The Old Testament, book of 1 Samuel, one of those early books of the Old Testament, dealing with an occurrence that took place in the land of Israel, which was a very tragic thing that took place, and the loss of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. It represented that the Lord was with His people. And they lost the Ark, and the Philistines took it in a great battle. And when the Philistines got it, they didn't know what to do with it because of the problems that came because of the presence that and the power that was with that. So in chapter 4, I want us to read just a few verses here, and we'll begin in verse number 1. We'll end up at the last verse, but we'll skip some verses in between. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched at Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And they joined battle. Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. When the people were come into the camp, and the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh, and that they might bring forth thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, of hosts which dwelleth between the cherubs. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp of Israel, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. The Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they say, Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong, quiet ye yourselves like men, O you Philistine, that ye be not servants of the Hebrews, as they have been to you, quiet yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man to his tent, and there was a great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the Ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh, and the same day that his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon the seat of the wayside, watching, for his heart trembled for the Ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the cry, he said, What meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the men came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old. His eyes were dim that he could not see. And the men said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army and fled this day out of the army. And he said, What is there done, my son? And the messenger answered, Israel is fled before the Philistines. There's been a great slaughter. And then he says, Thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the Ark of God is taken. Now, if you read on down, you'll find that when Eli heard this news, the Bible says that he fell backward and he also died. Now, about the time of this occurrence, there is a woman that is going to give birth to a child. And the Bible tells us that this is the daughter-in-law of Eli, who was the wife of Phinehas. And she is great with child, and she's about to be delivered. And when she hears the news, she travails, and she delivers that child. And in the delivery, she also dies. But before she dies, she gives a name to this child that is born. It's a very strange name. It's a name that we have heard because of this popularity of this story. But she gives the name of this baby by the name of Ichabod. Ichabod means the glory hath departed. Here in one day we have 30,000 footmen that have been killed. The message comes back to Eli of what has happened. The ark has been lost. Eli hears the message and he falls dead when he finds out about the ark and his two sons and all those men. Eli's daughter-in-law gives birth and she dies. And her dying words is given to us in verse number 21 and verse number 22. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." I want us to think this morning upon these verses and this subject of the lights have gone out. And there is a day in Israel's history that the light of God's word, the light of God's power disappeared from the land of Israel. This was about 3,100 years ago, according to Usher's time that we have. And this little boy comes into the world and has given a strange name. And it just simply means the glory of God is departed. Ichabod has been given this name because the Ark of the Covenant has been lost, which represented the presence and the power of God. His mother gave him this name because of that particular incident of the death of those people and her husband, her father-in-law, and even brother-in-law. And she does this because primarily, I think, is in verse 22, because the presence of the Lord has gone and the ark has been destroyed or taken away. The glory is departed. The night that the light of God's presence and God's power left Israel. The word glory usually means honor or praise. It means splendor or magnificence. It refers to the brightness of something. And so we find here that Ichabod says that the brightness, the glory, the presence, the brilliance, the light of God has departed from the land of Israel. Of course, we know the history of Israel, how that God had told Abraham that he would make him a great nation. And that nation would be more than the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. And so we find that Israel, later as time progresses, does become a great nation and always had trouble with the Philistines. They represent the enemy of God. And now we find the glory of the Lord has departed and we find that it is gone. And this morning, I want to take these verses and bring them over to our generation and our time and notice how that Jesus Christ is the brilliance and the brightness and the glory of the Lord, and that He is given to us as the light of the world, and how that we are seeing that light grow dim and dimmer and dimmer. In Luke chapter number 2, verse 32 says, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel," speaking of Jesus Christ. When Saul met Christ on the road to Damascus, the Bible says he saw the Lord and he saw a great light. Acts chapter 22, verse 11 says, "When I cannot see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of the men that was with me, I came to Damascus. In Revelation 21, verse number 23, it says, and the city has no need of sun, neither the moon to shine, for the glory of God lighteth it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. That is the future light of the glory of God. And this morning, the Word of God that we have before us reveals to us the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as the glory of God can depart from Israel, the glory of God can depart from other institutions and other things and other nations. When the Word of God is removed, the Bible tells us the only thing that is left, the only thing that remains are falsehood and fairy tales and fables. And so when we remove the Scripture and the presence of the Scripture, we are removing the power and the glory of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Isaiah 8:20 says, To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. 1 Peter 1:19 is a verse that we had this morning in our Sunday school class. It says, We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Verses right before that, Peter tells us that he didn't speak to us and cunningly devised fables. And I'll tell you what, the world has a way of cunningly devise things that are nothing more than fables and falsehoods and present them to us as truth. And so we do not have that as believers. Psalms 119, verse 130, The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Hosea 6:5 says, Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets and have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. With that in our minds concerning the presence and the power and the glory of the Word of God and the presence of the Lord, I want to think this morning of some places that the light can go out. Some places that the light can disappear. And sometimes already has begun to be very dim in its power. The glory can, as we have seen here in 1 Samuel chapter 4, the glory can depart from a nation. There's not a greater nation given to us in the Word of God than the nation of Israel and all the history that background of that nation, how that the Lord blessed and how God gave to them. But yet now the glory of the Lord has departed. The light of that presence and the light of the glory of God now has been removed, for the Ark of the Covenant representing the presence of God has been lost in battle. 30,000 people in this one battle, these men have been lost. The religious leader, Eli, has now died at the sound of what has taken place and the news of that. The Ark of the Covenant is gone and the baby is born and the mother said, Ichabod, the glory hath departed. And I believe as we see that from that moment on to to many, many generations down the history of Israel, Israel operated in its own power. Israel operated under its own strength. Now we understand that a nation can operate with its own power. It doesn't have to have God, but it does have to have God to succeed. There's a lot of nations this morning that are operating without God. I believe America included in that. And we are operating in our own power and our own ways of doing things. And so we find that the presence of God, when it departs from a country, there are things that takes place. This lady said, Call the name of the child Ichabod, for the glory hath departed from Israel because. Here's the reason. Because the ark of God was taken. The presence of the Lord, the power of God, was removed. Light goes out and glory is departed when God is taken and put on the backside and just sort of forgotten about and no longer put in front of legislation and in front of the things of a nation. When God is put on the backside, then the presence of the Lord, and God says, if you don't want me, you don't have to have me. And when that happens, the light begins to grow dim. When the Word of God is removed from the laws and its courts, the only solid foundation, then those laws cannot stand according to righteousness and according to truth, because popular opinion becomes the majority. Popular opinion becomes that which we have to judge ourselves by. The Bible tells us in the book of Judges, the last words of that book is that every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And I dare say this morning that is where we're living in our nation today, that every man is doing what is right in his own eyes, because we have removed the standard, we have removed the light, we have removed the presence, we have removed the collective effort that God gives to us, that we are to judge ourselves by, and that we are to conduct ourselves according to the Scriptures, according to the Word of God. Somebody says, I live in free America, I shouldn't have to do that if I don't want to. You don't have to, but you will have the judgment of God. You don't have to trust the Lord, but there will be a judgment of God. There's appointed unto man the judgment. One day we will stand before a thrice holy God, and we will give an account of things done in our lives. The solid foundation for laws must not and cannot be in accordance to popular opinion. It must be not by the majority, but according to the scriptural dictates that are given to us in the Scripture. Now, we understand the history of our country is that the Word of God, the Bible, influenced every state constitution. It influenced the writers of our Constitution. It influenced all the things that took place in America that we have lived under all these years, and now all of a sudden we say we don't want that. Well, I'll tell you, I believe it began a long time ago, back in the late 60s, early 70s, when we said we don't need God. And so the foundation begins to crumble and is destroyed, and the light goes out. When the Word of God is removed from the learning of His children, the lights go out. Now, the reason we have Grace Baptist School and the reason it was started is because I believe we ought to put within our children the foundation of God's Word. Grace Baptist School is not in existence as an alternative. Now, I will agree with you, and I will admit to you that some or probably many of our students and our parents are here because they want an alternative. But that's not the reason we're here. We're here to give a Christian-based, foundational-based education that will teach and train them and give them some foundation. And when that foundation is removed, then children are in trouble. In America's schools, the Word of God's been replaced by cultures and by heathen. You can say what you will. For the most part, the things that's coming out of our public education does not coincide with this book. Now, don't get me wrong, and don't go off and say I've lost my mind. I know there are some good Christian teachers, and thank God for them. But I'm talking about the underlying foundation of our national education. It's not conducive to Christianity. You cannot teach a third and fourth grader sex education and be conducive to the Word of God. You cannot teach alternate lifestyles and be right with the Word of God. And so when that foundation is removed, and those things are replaced by culture, and you either get back to the Bible or you get back to the jungle. You go one way or the other. There's no middle ground there. And so when the Word of God is removed from the lives of the citizenry of a country, the views of right and wrong change. Isaiah said there comes a time when right is called wrong and wrong is called right. Well, abortion's wrong, but it's called right. Euthanism is wrong, but it's called right. And you're going to hear more of that as the days go on. The first thing that the doctors offered to Leo and Renee is when there was a problem with the baby and they knew there was a problem, was that they could terminate the pregnancy. Isn't that right, Ronnie? Yeah. Now that's the society, that's the system that we live. And I'm here to declare to you, and I'm afraid the light has gone out. Views of right and wrong change drastically because there's no standard. There's no black and white. Everything's gray area. Well, with God's Word, and why the world doesn't like it is because there's no gray area, it's all black or white. We have biblical illiteracy. You'd be surprised how many people do not know, sit on pews and go to church. You'd be surprised how many people do not know the principles, the foundational principles of God's Word. We've seen the decline in Europe. Nations that were once strong and true to the Word of God, now we're sending missionaries to them. And I'm not sure that somewhere down the line some nation might send it to us. One of the largest, greatest mission fields in the world is the United States. You can go to cities and not find any type of true teaching or preaching. Now you find all kinds of churches, but I'm talking about truth. You say, well, that's just according to what you think truth is. No, it's according to what the Word of God says. There's no place of argument here. When God says it's right, it's right. When God says it's wrong, it's wrong. When God says it's sin, guess what? It's sin. But when we remove that and say, well, it's just according to popular opinion, then anything goes. And the presence of God can depart from a country. Along those lines, the glory of the Lord, as we've already touched on this some, the glory of the Lord can depart from our children. Proverbs 17:6. This is a great verse for grandparents. It didn't used to mean so much to me, but now it does. Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of children are their fathers. Here we find that children are important. The only way that we are going to survive in our society is that children's children are taught what they were taught. That's the only way. The only way my grandchildren can know the truth is if my daughter and son-in-law will teach them truth. I taught my daughter. Now it's her time to teach her daughter and her son. And somewhere down the line, if she does the right and that everything works like we want it to, somewhere down the line, they'll teach their children. But if you ever have a missing link in one generation, you can lose it. We see in our nation the role of family members have changed. We see the rules of child raising has changed. We find that all these things are taking place and they're fighting against what we call wholesome training of children. And the Bible still tells us that if we will teach and train our child when they're old, they'll not depart from that. But if you don't teach them when they're young, you can forget it when they're old. If you don't get that and mold that baby and that child and teach them from the very beginning the importance of serving God and the understanding that there is a God out there and we're going to answer to Him one day and in their own little ways of understanding, put the Scripture down on their level so they can understand that there's a Lord out there and there's a God out there, and one day the Lord will deal with their heart and make them realize they need Him. And if we don't put that in their heart, they'll never have that. Nobody else can give it to them. The world certainly isn't interested in that. Society has their own definition of what a family is, and it's not the definition of the Word of God. Society tells us how to raise our children by people that have never had children. They've got their degrees, they've got their PhDs, but they couldn't tell you a thing about how to change a diaper because they've never even smelled one. But they know how to tell me. Sure they do. This book tells us. And churches that are right with God, churches that will stand upon the book, will teach us and train us. That's why we have churches that have seminars and training on raising children the biblical way and family retreats and how to do things. And because we're living in a society that's not the society of 50 years ago. The normal 25-year-old person out there, we live in the Bible Belt. And we think everybody lives like we do. Get out of the belt every once in a while and find out how the world lives. And there are people out there that's in our country that have no idea who Jesus Christ is. And so you got to go all the way back to the basics. And we that live in this area, we're not used to having to do that. We just go talk to someone and we presuppose they understand all these foundations when it's not there. And so we need to understand that if we do not teach our families and teach our children and our children's children, then the glory will be departed and the light will go out. It's happened in countries. It's happened in children. Sadly to say, it's happened in churches. Revelation 2:5 says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come to thee quickly, remove thy candlestick out of his place, except ye repent." And here Jesus is talking to a church. Not talking to an individual, he's talking to a group of people that names the name of Christ, a church. When the love of the Word of God is gone, and we have less preaching and more everything else, then we're in trouble. I still contend, I still believe, and I still will proclaim it till I'm gone that the most important thing that a church does is the preaching of God's Word. The preaching and the teaching of this book, the Word of God, will keep us out of trouble. It'll help our homes. It'll help our churches. It'll help our lives. But we have churches now, they're so involved in entertainment and so involved in seeker-sensitive type ministry that if that's what they want, that's what I want to give them. Well, for the most part, the lost and dying world, I say for the most part, it's just true, the lost world does not want what we have. They do not desire the Word of God. It's not in their nature to do that or to have that. And so to use the terminology seeker-sensitive, that's not even a scriptural term. No man comes to God except he be drawn of the Holy Spirit. Man doesn't seek God. God seeks man. When our loyalty to the Word of God is gone, we are turned into fables. When our love is gone and all these things overshadow preaching, and preaching just becomes a sideline. I've been in some churches, they sing an hour and a half and preach 10 minutes. That's sort of balanced the wrong way. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I've seen people that could hoop and holler and shout and rejoice over some quartet group, say, and when the preacher gets up, they get to, something wrong. I won't say nothing else about that. When we live by the word of the world instead of the word of God, talking about the church now, the direction is gone. The clear-cut pathway. I wonder why churches always have troubles and squabbles and fights and fusses. Thank God we don't do that. The reason that happens is because we lose sight of the living Word of God. We lose sight of the presence of God. We lose sight of His power upon us. And all of a sudden, when we do that, my agenda becomes more important than His agenda. I've heard churches splitting over what color to paint a room. That's sad. All of a sudden, order is gone. The glory is departed. We can open the doors every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We can go through the form, the fashion. We can sing our three songs and our two prayers and take our offerings and go home. But that doesn't mean the power of God's here. That doesn't mean the Lord's here. For He says, "Where two or three are gathered in My name." That's the key. Sometimes we want to key in on the two or three because we don't have many. But the important thing is in His name. When we gather in His name, it would be two or three or 2,000 or 3,000. The important thing is in His name. And when He's gone, the presence of the Lord, then we're turned unto fables and squabbles and no direction. But the glory of the Lord can depart also from a Christian. I'm talking about the presence, the power of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of the glory of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." Some people He's evil spoken of, but upon us that are Christians, He should be glorified. You better be careful when you quit reading your Bible. One of the hardest things I have in my personal life, and you're going to say, "Preacher, that don't sound right for a preacher." One of the hardest things I have to do is my personal Bible reading. I'm not talking about reading and studying for a message. I'm talking about what I need from God for me. But when we lax on that and when we go back on that, then we are inviting the light to grow dim. When we quit reading it, when we read it, we just say, "Well, I'll pass over that because I don't want to read that right now." Because we know it's going to cut us where we are. Hebrews says, "Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing, cuts both ways, coming and going." So have there ever been a time or ever been a passage that you say, "Well, I believe I'll read that later because I really don't want to read that"? That's the Holy Spirit saying you need to read that. When we quit rejoicing, our joy is gone. Our joy is no longer overflowing. The lights are growing dim. The story of the Old Testament is an actual, literal occurrence of a baby being born. And a mother, in her dying words, realizing what had happened to Israel, says, "Name him Ichabod." Because Ichabod means the glory hath departed. I can't do a whole lot about my country. Forces are at work to destroy our nation. I can do what I need to do, and I can be my one person, and I can sign up, and if they want my name, they can have my name. But I don't feel like I can accomplish much on a national basis. Enough of us together could. But I can have an effect on my heart. I hope that we can have an effect upon our church. And I pray God would help us to have an effect upon our children. Because their eternity depends upon our faithfulness. May God help us not to let the lights go out. Not to let the message of God grow dim. Keep their lights burning bright so that little boys and girls can hear the message that Jesus loves them. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That teenagers will hear the message that whatever problem comes their way, that God has an answer. That He's not outdated. He's not antiquated. He is a God that is of all times. And whatever age we are, God can help us. We're losing our young people. I heard Dr. Ken Ham there in Northern Kentucky when we went to the Creation Museum. He was there for our tour. I heard him say, they're sitting on our pews, but they're really not there. Talking about young people. They go to church because they have to, but really they're not there. Because the cares of the world and the society pressures has already gotten to them. And that's why there's a big majority of young people, when they get out of high school and go off to college, they never go back to church. He has written a book, I'm going to order it, entitled Already Gone. And I would, having not read it, I would still recommend that every parent get that book. May not agree with every little detail, but from what I've read of it, I believe every parent ought to have it. We need to make sure that our children don't leave God. And the only one that can make that for sure is us doing what we can do and the Holy Spirit dealing with their heart. Draw them unto the Lord. It's important that the lights not go out. It's important in our country that it doesn't. It's important in our homes. It's important in our children. It's important in our churches that the lights shine bright. That there not be an Ichabod stating the glory hath departed. Let's stand together this morning. Message challenge is for us to examine our heart, our lives. I would challenge our teenagers, our young folks. I would challenge our school children. I would challenge young adults, middle-aged adults, all of us, to examine our hearts to make sure that the lights are burning. That what I hold as true is what I'm showing. That the opportunity I had as a child, that I'll give to my children. My grandchildren, and I would teach them the things of the Lord. What number, brother? 393 this morning. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come. This morning, the message is not a shouting message, but it's a message to help us to examine ourselves and to understand what we're living, where we're living, what's going on, that our children and our children's children might one day know God. 393 as we sing this morning together. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Fourth one now.